That made the subcontinent the last delicious corner of the earth which had few Mitsubishi landlords. What Mitsubishi can't buy, they adopt. J.E.D.D. Mason's voice was gentle as a chant. One vote for being a member, two for owning an apartment, five for a house, 20 for a factory, 30 for a forest, none for an idea. I. You're the richest hive measured in land. But what if we measure by manpower? Shanghai. The Masons win by their standard, and we win by ours. I see that. That doesn't make us wrong. I. But there aren't only two measures, directors. There are many. Measure by income. Half the human race pays rent to you. But Utopia earns more for its services and inventions. Or measure by output. You say shareholder democracy makes your members work harder, but every single utopian is a vocateur. Younger Shanghai. The utopians aren't a competitor. No matter what they earn, they can't grow while they spend it all on their moon base and lobbing junk at Mars. Terraforming, I corrected. It is terraforming. In 250 years, it will be done. Even if you own this world by then, Utopia will own another one. Is it not miraculous, reader, the power of the mind to believe and not believe at once? We all know the powers of Utopia. We see their living wonders fill the streets, cheer as they conquer syndromes, hire them to make the impossible possible for us job after job. We even trust them with this hunt for the dread Gyges device. Yet we still think and plan for the world, one world. We never doubt that every individual shipment they send to Mars must be successful, that their science is sound, their effort proceeding. But somehow we do not believe the distant end will ever come. These nine directors don't believe utopians will really live on Mars in 2660. Utopians do. If land is not the source, I continued, then you lose to the Masons. If it is, you lose long-term to the Utopians. Sugiyama's editorial will say this, and, coming from your most prominent journalist, it will shatter the public's faith in your democracy. Shareholder democracy, younger Shanghai corrected. Democracy is what the other hives are seeing. Director Bandyopade leaned forward until the polished board table glowed with the reflected coral fire blossoms of her jacket. Whatever you say about the benefits of having both personal votes and property votes, you know the other hives look at us. They look at me. They look at how our second largest nation strat can only secure one seat at this table because the lot of you... Her gesture encompassed all of them. But her eye fell most on Ando and Kimura Kunie, whose 100 million Japanese strat members boasted two directors, while India's near billion fought for one. Have had your strats eating up property as hard as you can for generations. They think they see us all racing with each other to eat up more, even if we aren't. Every doubt and bad feeling other hives have, and every late rent fee they've ever resented, it adds up. She turned back to the camera. This could be some anti-land grab group playing extremely dirty. Do we even know this is the real Kano device? Someone with a vague sense that it could smear us may have created their own tracker hacker to make us look dirty. The suggestion struck me like a ray of light. Shanghai killed it with a cloud. Utopians? Hired utopians could do it, or the hive itself. Do your predictions think they'll benefit from this? What does the censor's office say? I winced. You can probably guess. The Masons are predicted to gain most from the members and investments that leave you. Cousins and humanists will benefit as well. More details are in flux. And the Utopians? Shanghai pressed. You just said we're in a long-term two-planet land race, and here we're trusting them with the investigation. What if it was them? I could not lie before J.E.D.D. Mason. There are probably constellations of utopians out there who could make such a thing. But to speak frankly, directors, manipulating politics and public image this way is not the sort of thing utopia as a hive cares much about. And if hired utopians were to plan such a thing for one of the other hives, they would succeed, and they would make sure we did not suspect them. I cringe even now repeating this, reader. Do not fear the utopians. Anyone would call utopia a fearsome foe, but they do not play these earthly power games, and, like a nest of hornets, they sting only when provoked. Have you seen this Sugiyama editorial, Jagmohan? Director Bandyopadhyay uses India's nickname for J.E.D.D. Mason, practically a pun. Which angle is it playing up? Maybe Sugiyama is talking to anti-land-grab people. Beijing nodded agreement. If so, the worst part of all this may be that this fuss with the editor and switching lists makes it look like Masami Mitsubishi was party to trying to hush Sugiyama up. I'm already getting snippets of the hue and cry anti-land-grab groups are raising about that. Perfect ammunition for them. Too perfect. A few had sympathetic frowns for brooding Ando, but Bandyopadhyay's expectant gaze directed the others to the camera once again. They have a special patience for J.E.D.D. Mason, as for an oracle struggling to condense her oceanic message into the thimble vessel of a sentence. Chichiwe, do you have personal enemies outside this room? Have any of you, directors? They reviewed each other over a long silence. You think this is a personal attack? A shark has many teeth for one reason. Just so, this theft wounds from many sides at once. That speaks of a meticulous author. Again, a careful silence held China, Korea, India, Japan. Any who answers me this in private might do great good, J.E.D.D. Mason told them slowly. Until then, directors, I give you more by giving my minutes and my servants' minutes to my investigation than to you yourselves. The chief director nodded. Thank you for your time today, Tycoon. I will you well, directors. Father, give my regards to all my step-siblings and the princess. Chief Director Ando smiled at this dash of Japanese. I will. Jagmohan, Director Bandyopadhyay's call made all freeze. One more question. Yes, Director. I know you're using Mycroft Guildbreaker. How much will you two share with Mason in all this? Does Guildbreaker know that the Kano device can be tied to the Mitsubishi? Will Mason find out? His answer was not slow this time. A Masonic emperor does not need blackmail. Potter gains more from stability than from your fall. You two are all allies in that sense. If Martin and I choose to inform Patrem, it will be because the Empire cannot help you bury what it does not know. I see doubt on your faces, but you are already struggling to keep this secret. You would do well to accept aid from Patre, one whose secrets have commanded supreme awe and curiosity over the centuries, and yet he keeps them still. Here, once again, reader, we manage to both believe and not believe. We say we are not so gullible as to accept the propaganda that the Masons are as ancient as the cults of Mithras and Orpheus. We say that we do not believe they conspired from the shadows, guiding human progress for millennia before the church war's chaos brought them into the light. But when you push, our denial weakens. We date the hive to 2137, the war's height, 6 years after Carlyle's great renunciation shattered the nation-states. Those who did not share the uniting ethic of an early hive did not love Europe, Asia, sport, stage, kindness, nature, profit, brill, found themselves abandoned, their states dissolving, their churches, first resort when states failed, swept up in the zealot flames. As war matured into chaos and plague, one false hope lay in the Masonic lodges peppering the towns, which fiction claimed were more than what they seemed. We say that Antoninus Mason just harnessed the myth, organized those who came to the lodges into a global force before people realized there was not one already there. Power I am, this master storyteller claimed. The secret emperor, more ancient than the pyramids, more far-reaching than Alexander, more long-lasting than Rome. While Ramses and Ozymandias built monuments that fade, I hid in the shadow and reveal myself only now that the fools I left to sub-govern in my place have failed so much. Come back to me, my people. My empire has endured 10,000 years and will not be shaken by this petty war. That fiction birthed this hive, which swallowed up the remnants as a gleaner picks fallen grain after the harvest. Much grain remained, more than enough to make the myth of empire real. But something inside us can't believe it's all invention. It feels so ancient, the dread imperial guard, the awesome shadow of the Sanctum Sanctorum Tower, the imperial palace with its clustered ziggurats, the laws unrolled on crackling papyrus, the cold, iron-gray throne. The language of myth slips from our tongues. Ancient custom, ancient law, imperium, millennium, empire, Caesar. Perhaps it actually is true and false at once. Great institutions, hive, strat, nation, kingdom, guild, all are built of consensus, willed into reality by we who love, obey, protect, and fear. If will alone can make these powers real enough to reshape the globe and burn the heavens, perhaps will can also make them real 10,000 years ago. Yes, Ando answered. You may tell Mason, if you think it prudent, Tycoon. We know you'll only make them see the truth. While we have you with us, we are able to count Mason as a friend. I know the whole directorate is grateful. Ando stopped there, but the grim pride in his eyes added, to me. They did need these reminders sometimes, Beijing, Shanghai, vast and wary India, why they are all best off with Ando in the chief director's seat. Yes, Chichiwe, I will do my best for you. Chapter the 19th, Flies to Honey. But this is a church, Thisbe cried. Carlyle checked the address a second time. Probably it just used to be a church. See, the cross has been taken off the steeple. Thisbe found little comfort in that as she faced the stone and arches of XXX Rue XXXXX Avignon, France. It had been a church, a simple one, but ancient enough to have the wet scent of a graveyard. The tangle of plants around it was almost tidy enough to be called a garden, and as March's lion turned to lamb, some hope-green sprouts were peeking from old branches like stubborn stars piercing a foggy night. I did not see this. In fact, at my interview, I invited Carlyle Foster to write this chapter himself, but he does not trust his skill with written words. That day, he trusted himself. Let's try the basement door, he was first to suggest. It looks more used than the big front portals. Thisbe did not have to be convinced, for her boots had already started down the garden path, threatening to crush the green points, not yet crocuses, which crowded between the stones.